Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us around the Super Talk Network this afternoon, online, wherever you're tuned in. We got a good show for you today. Ashlyn Fuqua. Did I mispronounce that, Ashlyn? Tell me again.
Fuqua.
Fuqua is with me today, and she is the head coach of the Southern Misses dance team. We're looking forward to talking to Ashlyn here in a few minutes. You're going to hear from Charles Huff, who's the head football coach at Marshall University, on the program today as well. And we're about to get a practice update from Andrew Abadie and our own Dima Mixon as we broadcast from the Southern Bank Course Studio, another edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. First segment, as always, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue. All right, glad to have Andrew Abadie back on the radio show today. Andrew, I saw an interesting article that you wrote about some Southern Miss players that you really think are stepping up and improving in early fall practice. Let's review that first. Who are the top three that really jump out in your mind?
Top three, okay. Yeah, I think, you know, probably one of the safer picks of that is Chandler Pittman. You know, he's kind of floated around as that wide receiver and super back role. And, you know, it seems like he's really, really found a home at slot receiver. He had a pair of really spectacular one-handed catches on Monday. And, you know, receiver is a position I've said is kind of feels one of the biggest question marks on this team, and outside of Ty Mims, of course. And it feels like Pittman and Mims in those two slot roles really complement each other well. And, you know, it just really seems like that's going to be a solid tandem for USM in this offense.
All right. Anybody else jump out?
Yeah. I think safe to say, let me think about this. Probably JQ Gray has really taken some strides. Seems like he's being used way more in this offense. Well, he didn't play last year, obviously, but, you know, he's taking snaps to ones. They're involving him in the play calling, and, you know, it's really fun to see him and Ethan Crawford in the backfield, because both of them just bring so much speed. And, you know, JQ is a guy who can, you know, you can use him in the passing game, but I mean, he can run. You know, I got to see that a lot at Oak Grove, but he's really showed that this past week more so, but the past couple of weeks you've kind of seen it maybe brew a little bit. So, but really JQ is, at least this past week, had a really great week of practice so far. And then my third, you could say probably go Will Saxon. It's been kind of talked about how, you know, Conti from Eastern Michigan is kind of you would have thought be that left guard role. And at least before fall camp, and now it really feels like Saxon has turned into a genuine competition. And, you know, people have talked about the strides he's made. It's kind of obvious to see for you video gamers. I think he's, like, rated the second highest player on the team. But, you know, it really looks like he's stepped up his game.
All right, Dima, have you got a name you'll add to Andrew's list?
Yeah, I would say Dante Lucas, coming in from South Alabama, and I've talked about him on the show before. Just really good at that right tackle position, and the whole offensive line, Andrew, I think is going to be significantly better than in years past, and I think that's been evident at practice. And you mentioned Will Saxon, you got obviously Gabe Cavazos and Nunnery coming in from Eastern Michigan, and then just several players that they have been able to take in there on that offensive line, and they've looked so much better in pass pro and run blocking.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to add, they've looked really good. It's obvious that it feels like they're a more complete offensive line than they have in the past and have a little bit more depth, but, you know, when you compare it to what they've been, it's very, you know, when you start from a very low perspective, it's easy to look improved. But, yeah, they do feel like they'll be at least solid, that you would hope.
And I know you mentioned the secondary a little bit in your article, but you honestly could put the entire secondary in all of these positions that you had as the stock uprising because of all those pieces that got back. But also, as Will Hall told us, they had to, like, over-sign in the secondary because of all those pieces that they were having returning from injury just so they could get through spring brawl. So they have all those pieces back, but then they also have all that depth.
Yeah, you know, the way I framed my story was as, you know, I was comparing them the kids to stocks, but I called the secondary blue-chip stock because they've been pretty solid through all of fall camp since everybody's been, for the most part, healthy again. And, you know, Will Hollis said it. There's a lot of former SEC guys in there, highly recruited players. I know some people think that's coach talk, but it's actually not, because it's true. You know, it just feels like practice after practice, somebody in the secondary makes a really impressive play, and it's different every time, which is kind of refreshing to see.
All right, I'm going to ask both of you this question, and I'm going to start with you, Andrew. We'll go back to yesterday's practice. We have from a very reliable source that If you look at the snaps taken with the first line offensive line, Tate Rodemaker took 16 in practice, Ethan Crawford took 14, John White took 4. So clearly right now there is a competition between Rodemaker and Crawford. Andrew, who do you give the nod to at this point?
Oh, I'm kind of all in on Ethan Crawford. I feel like he's kind of separated this past week. You know, Tate, you know, the first two practices of this week did not really, we'll call them subpar. And I'm probably being generous based on how Monday went. But, you know, it really feels like Ethan's steady. The chemistry with his teammates is very obvious. And, you know, part of that for Tate is just having come in this past spring. But, you know, they scrimmaged this Saturday. And if this week is, you know, kind of an idea of how that scrimmage will go between Ethan Crawford and Tate Rodemaker, you know, I think it's safe to say Ethan Crawford will have won the job. It just feels like he's really starting to separate.
Yeah. You know, if I were making the decision, I would totally agree with Andrew that Ethan Crawford, to me, looks the part. As I've said on the show at so many times, he has a different element with his legs that just elevates the offense to what they want to do. They can run read options. They can run fake screens, QB runs, whatever they want to do, and they've shown that through practice. And I think yesterday I might have misspoke when I said that Rodemaker had, you know, taken all of the first-team snaps or whatever. What I was really meaning was that he was coming out first in most of the drills, right? So with the offensive line, they probably still had that balance where they were having the same snaps with the offensive line. So I think this quarterback competition is still in the forefront. But Chip Long said yesterday that the real separator was the age. And that's why I think that Rodemaker still has the leg up, at least as of now, on their side. On my side, I agree with everything Andrew just said, and I would have Ethan Crawford be the starter. But if I had to predict on this day, on August 7th, who the starting quarterback against Kentucky is going to be, I would say Tate Rodemaker.
Andrew, what will we see Saturday? I mean, will they show much Saturday, or is this just an effort to get them out on the field and let them hit each other?
You know, in the past, it's kind of hard to gauge because, you know, Will was in charge of the offense. So I don't quite know what to expect on this go-around, especially with two different coordinators. Will, I will say, usually kind of gives us an idea on the practice before. So maybe we'll know a little bit more. But honestly, I don't know. What I think they probably hope to see is, like I just mentioned, separation at quarterback. I think it'd be really nice to see kind of their running backs outside of Dreek Clark really get to see some action and where they're at in terms of depth there, as well as receiver. I think it's, like we said, I think you want to see a lot of question marks start to be answered. But yeah, it's going to be – it's hard to say at this point just because there's new faces in the coaching staff.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let me ask you one question. Minute left. I got the video of that spectacular one-handed catch in practice, but really what caught my eye, Andrew, and I'm sure it caught yours, was in the background you could see Dema Mixon standing there with his notepad and his pen in a very impressive stance. I thought he stole the moment. What about you, Andrew?
Dema steals the moment every day. That's how Dema Mixon rolls.
Not always
you're
for the good,
Dema,
right? Yeah.
Well, you know, that's for, you know, your critics to decide. But, you know, that's my two cents on that.
Okay, that's very good, Andrew. Andrew, how can people find your fine reporting on Southern Miss Sports?
Yeah, you can follow Pine Belt Sports on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can also follow me on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Andrew Abadie. That's Abadie. I know there's a paywall on our stuff. I don't get any money for that. Please stop complaining to me about it.
Hey, you do a great job, man, and we really appreciate you contributing to our program. You're welcome.
Hey,
anytime.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. Appreciate the kind words.
All right. Andrew Abadie, everybody. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Southern Miss Dancers, and we've got the head coach right here in the studio. We're looking forward to that. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks, Andrew Abadie, joining us. A great sports writer, does a good job covering Southern Miss, and I really appreciate Andrew's input. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, where Miss Kathleen has all the apparel all the time. They're open pretty much all the time. And if you can't make it by there, just go to campusbookmart.net, and you can shop online. Anything you want will be delivered right to your home. Also, our thanks to Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road, and as is their new showroom. Man, it is state-of-the-art stuff, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Hey, we're delighted to have Ashlyn Fuqua in the studio with us. She is the head coach of the Southern Misses Dance Team. And thanks, first of all, for coming in. We're glad to have you here in the studio with us.
Of course, yeah. I'm super excited to be here.
You know, I was telling you in my office, one of the reasons that I really like having coaches like you and your dancers would be welcome here too is because I think sometimes we forget that while everybody's focused in on the fact that the football team is practicing, well, so are the Southern Misses, and they work just as hard, put in just as many hours, practice just as hard as the athletes that we always seem to see in the spotlight. You don't disagree with that, do you?
Not at all, and I think it's important for our fans to know that there's very little reward for my girls. Ultimately, from the end of the season, we get very little scholarship. There's no NIL deals. There's no special treatment for us. I have to recruit girls that really love Southern Miss, and they love performing on game day.
You told me you have to raise money for your uniforms.
Yes, we fall under the umbrella of the athletic department, which we are so thankful that they adopted us from the Office of Student Affairs. But we don't get any financial support from the university or the athletic department, which is okay. We've made it work every single year. We still get the uniforms we need, and it's so rewarding at the end of the season when we go to competition and we walk away with those trophies. We know that we did it ourselves because we ultimately wanted to be there more than anybody.
All right, and your ladies have done very well in competition. Let our listeners know just what all your team has accomplished.
They have. We traveled to the College Classic in Orlando, Florida. We spend a couple days there, and we compete in Division 1A jazz and hip-hop, and we are currently ranked number 2 in the nation in Division 1A hip-hop.
All right, tell me about your team. You told me you had 13 dancers, 4 different states. I'd like to know how you find these kids.
I'm currently on staff with the Universal Dance Association, so I spend a lot of time at middle school and high school dance team camps, and I talk to dancers about what happens with your life after high school dance team, because a lot of them aren't necessarily thinking about it. And ultimately, I go out and I recruit these kids, and I invite them to our clinics, and I make them commits, and they recruit just like any other sport does, but it's still very competitive. We lose recruits, we change our minds and everything of that nature, but it's definitely nice to go out there and get them and make them know that I want them here.
Now, here's what you told me I thought was really cool. Your mom started this program.
She did. She was here in the late 80s, and she was the captain of the Dixie Darlings, and she wanted to start performing at basketball games, and ultimately no one really wanted to make their season any longer, so she held her own tryouts, and they started sewing their own uniforms and costumes by hand, and that's how we came to where we are today.
Is that right?
That's awesome. Just for our listeners' sake, you know, you go to a basketball game, there's dancers on the floor, there's dancers in the corridor, there's dancers, there's the Dixie, whatever there is. When people look at y'all, which one are y'all? Which one are the ones that y'all are dancing?
We are what would be known as the basketball dance team. We are the POM and the hip-hop dance team. But more than that, in the last 2 years, we've added football to our schedule, so you can catch us at all home football games. And just in a chance to kind of get more fans, get more students at volleyball games, we've also started performing at their games. So last year alone, we did 6 home football games, 14 volleyball matches, and 38 home basketball games.
So for a basketball game, this is like when the timeout and they say, welcome to Southern Misses, they come to the floor and there's a big dance off in the middle.
That's us.
So how much money do we have to pay Mr. Bob to do that for this home season?
Oh, we would let him come dance with us for free.
Okay.
Well, now, Dima's getting married in December. Could you teach Dima?
I love to dance. You know,
you
I can
teach Dima a boogie. Dance that he could do
absolutely
during the ceremony?
Absolutely, and we can be special guests at your like reception as well.
Footloose, you know, all the line dancing.
You're a dancer?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, Ashley, when did you start dancing?
I started dancing as soon as I was potty trained, as soon as my mom could get me in the studio. She dropped me off there. So I've been in the studio, been called a studio rat my whole life. I was at the dance studio 5 days a week after school. By the time I hit college dance team, I was a competitive dancer for 17 years.
Now, is potty training a requirement before you can start dancing?
Not necessarily.
I was going to say Kelly's disqualified then.
Yeah, Kelly's still not potty
trained. My studio, as long as your dancer can make it an hour and 15 minutes without me having to change their diaper, they're old enough to come dance.
So really, kids can start when they're 18 months old?
Absolutely. I have kids at my studio right now who are not yet 2. And they are killing
it. I want you
it.
To tell me That's about crazy. Your studio, because you explained to me you do this. Is this voluntary? Should I ask you that? Can I ask you that?
It's part-time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a part-time job. You work full-time at Hattiesburg Clinic. Mm-hmm. You have your own dance studio. You stay pretty busy, Ashlyn.
Yes. I operate under high-pressure situations. That's how I function best.
Okay. Tell me about your dance studio, and if somebody would like to – I mean, you seem like me, you'd be the perfect person to take a little girl to if you wanted her to learn how to dance.
Yeah, I own Studio 601 Dance Academy here in Hattiesburg. We are new to the Hattiesburg area, but we are not new to owning a dance studio. I'm a third-generation studio owner, and I'm the 5th woman in my family to open a dance studio. So we've been around for over 75 years in this dance studio industry.
How could people get in touch with you if they want to bring their child to your
We are on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we are studio601danceacademy.com. I also have a studio phone number that I keep in my purse and I answer every time it rings.
Yeah. Sounds like my friend Larry Warren. Call him, he's going to answer the phone.
That's right.
Right. That's business, isn't it, Ashlyn?
Yes, sir. When I'm not teaching, I'm on that phone.
There you go. All right. What is the one thing, if you could say one thing, that you would like for our listening audience to know about the Southern Misses and the kids that comprise that group?
I think it's important to know that they're athletes, too. They have to be full-time students. They have to maintain a 3.0 GPA. We have 4 days of practice every week. They have 4 hours of workouts every week. They put in a lot of work, and they're 100% self-motivated. They're very dedicated. They get more talented every single year. It motivates me heavily as a coach. Every year they come hungrier, more talented, and they want Southern Miss fans to know them for who they are. And they just love this university and appreciate everything they get to do for it.
Now, you spent 2 years as the assistant coach. This is your third year as the head coach. What did you want to change and implement in the program when you took over, and where are you now in your own mind in accomplishing what you set out to accomplish?
A big goal for us was going to compete, and I think my first team that I ever took to compete, to this day, I have such a strong bond with them because we went in blind. We had no idea what was going on. We borrowed a bunch of vehicles and drove ourselves to Orlando. We made our own costumes, and we ordered things off of Shein because we didn't necessarily have the funds like the other schools did there. So just getting us to compete was a super big deal for us. But more than anything, I want us to be more rooted in the Hattiesburg community. A lot of my girls are not from here, so they don't know how tight-knit this community and tight-knit this university is. So a big goal for us this year is just to be in our community more community service, and get people to know who we are as dancers, but also as people too.
All right, in the short time I've been around you, I've certainly picked up on the fact that you're a motivated, go-forward young lady. If there was one thing the athletic department could do to help your program the most, what would that be, Ashlyn?
I think the most important thing that we're struggling with right now, besides funds, would be a practice space on campus. I think that we don't have that space right now, and we're making it work, absolutely. We have businesses that donate their space and donate their time to us, and we 100% make it work, but we would love a place on campus to call our little home, a place to put all our uniforms, put all our stuff, and a place to hang out as a team.
Where do your kids practice now?
We currently practice in my studio. We practice every weekday morning from 5:30 to 7:30.
In the morning?
Good.
Yes,
nice.
Sir. We practice 5:30 in the morning.
Well, all of our kids are coming in after that.
So. Yeah. Why 5:30 in the morning?
It's the one time that everybody doesn't have anything going on. The university doesn't have class.
That's for sure.
The university doesn't have class then, so the girls can get out at 7:30. If they have 8 a.m., so they make it there.
What do they say about 5:30 practices?
You know what? They don't complain to me. If they do complain, they don't do it where I can hear it.
Right. Well, look, I'm going to tell you something. We're lucky to have you here, and you're dedicating an awful lot more time than I suspect you're being paid for. And I've enjoyed watching those kids at basketball, and I'm going to have my eye out for them at football now. And I thank you for coming in, and I thank you for sharing the story.
Absolutely. Thank you for letting me be here.
Ashlyn Fuquay, everybody, who is the head coach of the Southern Misses. You'll see them first home game, right?
First home game. We'll be there.
Okay. Thank you, Ashlyn. We appreciate
course.
It. All right. When we come back, we're going to hear from Charles Huff. He's the head football coach of the Marshall Thundering Herd on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Ashlyn Fuquay, and also want to thank Andrew Abity. I think great interviews from both of those folks today, and we really appreciate all that Ashlyn does to help the Southern Misses dance team on our campus. All right, let's get back into Sun Belt football. Let me ask you first, Dima. You know, I think one of the really traditional teams now in the Sun Belt is Marshall University. I think their football program speaks for itself. Your thoughts about Marshall's chances this year before we hear from their head coach?
I think they're very similar to Southern Miss this season, and a lot of people writing them off. I think they're projected to finish fifth or sixth in the East. A lot of people writing them off, and I think when this interview airs, Kelly asked him about that, and I think he even compared Marshall to Southern Miss, but very similar to Southern Miss. A lot of people writing them off. Third-year head coach, which if you remember in the East, a lot of those head coaches are new systems, brings back a lot of talent. Marshall, pretty decent last year. So very interesting team. I think they have the same amount of questions as Southern Miss as far as we just don't know how good they're going to be, so we're going to rank them low. But watch out for Marshall. Watch out for the Thundering Herd. They come to Hattiesburg, I think, for homecoming this year.
All right, here's the head coach, Charles Huff.
Coach, for a program like Marshall and a school like Southern Miss, both very deep in tradition and now have some coaching history, neither team seeing a whole lot of love in the preseason. I know that's all just hocus pocus and all that, but let's talk about your team. What do you like about your team from what you know of it, this roster? What are you a little bit worried about as you – some things you want to work on heading into fall drills?
Yeah, I think we have our best team we've had in 4 years. And when I say best, I'm not saying we have the best players, but we have the best group of players that embody our – core values, our fundamentals, embrace being team. Our gap from starter to next guy is not as wide. Our drop off from experience to non-experience is not as wide. Now, don't get me wrong, we had some great players that went on to the NFL and did some really good things, but the drop off from Ali to the next guy was huge. So you found yourself trying to force ways to get Ali the ball more, force ways to get Owen Porter more. Well, now the level is a little bit more open. So now you can just play the system. The system can work. More people will have opportunities. Obviously, what are we worried about? Well, we got 40 new players. So, yeah, they play to other schools. How are they going to react when the lights come on? You know, how are they going to react when they get, you know, their first time they get blocked or don't get blocked? So those are the things. Obviously, coming up in August, we'll be able to answer a lot of that. But I feel really good about the group. The prognostication does not affect us in-house. What happens is people have to evaluate our parts. No one can evaluate the sum of those parts. And that's the people that are going to play the games. The sum of the parts is what plays the game. So we feel really good about it. If you were in our building, you wouldn't by any means feel, hey, this is, you know, pressure. We got to do X, Y, and Z. Everyone is in a really good spot.
When you took over at Marshall, I'm sure you had a checklist of things. This is the way we'd like to have it go. Now that you're into the tenure a little bit, are there some things that maybe didn't go the way that you wanted to, system-wise, whatever, that you've changed that might be a little bit different on the Herd this year?
Yeah, well, every time I had a list, something got thrown out. So the first list was, you know, win Conference USA. Well, we got out of Conference USA. Then it was, you know, build a roster to be sustainable in the Sun Belt. Well, then here came transfer portal and here came NIL. So, again, I think there are a lot of things that we've wanted to do. I think we've had to adjust a lot. I think we're getting to the point where we're a little bit more consistent in our entire operation, the way we recruit, what we're looking for. We've got to get to, you know, a place where we continue to retain our players so our roster stays a little bit more intact. But we feel better now going into year three of the tenure, year four of the overall tenure, based on what we were trying to do for the Sun Belt. We got a tremendous conference. The East is unbelievable. Nobody wants to play anybody on the West either. So the way you build your program, your checklist, have to reflect that. NIL is a part of that. How do you continue to raise a sustainable NIL plan? Roster management's part of that. You know, how do you keep your good players? So a lot of the things we plan to do, we had to change, but I think we've adjusted well and continue to be on track.
Well, really, when you look at it now, you and Will Hall are getting closer and closer to the top of Dean of Sun Belt coaches, even though you've only been where you are a short period of time. But you guys have got to come to Hattiesburg this year. And we hear from other teams that Hattiesburg is a really, really tough place to play. We don't understand necessarily why, other than we as fans try to make it as difficult on you guys as possible. But give me your thoughts about Hattiesburg and having to come.
Yeah, a lot of respect for Coach Hall. He and I have known each other in the coaching profession. Him and his dad, obviously, what they've done in football has been phenomenal. What he's done with the program, you know, what you see on the outside is not truly what's going on. There's a lot of things that Coach Hall has been able to do and prove over his tenure. I think people say it's tough when you come to Hattiesburg just because for most people, the travel distance, you know, it takes a lot to get there. Very similar when you say you're coming to Huntington, West Virginia. I think we're maybe, I know ODU is a little bit higher than us, but we're probably the two farthest, you know, pieces in the, you know, in the Sun Belt when you start talking about, you know, North and South. So the travel weighs into it. I think, again, whenever you have a passionate fan base, I think your team is always going to be competitive. You know, that's going to be something. Southern Miss has been a competitive program for a long time. That fan base is competitive. And then, again, I think when you really look at the trajectory that the program's on, you know, when Coach Hall first got there to where they are now, they're getting better. Are they still missing some pieces? Yeah, just like the rest of us. But you put on the film and you don't look at the scoreboard, there's a lot of positive that we see. And I think he's done some things, you know, rebranding or retooling the staff, which is going to create some challenges because no one knows what that dynamic is going to be. And then he's continued to recruit really well. You know, I had a chance to be at Mississippi State for a while when I was coaching at in the SEC. The state of Mississippi has a lot of football talent that you may not see rated on any, you know, platform. And the kids that are come into those programs have a lot of pride for the state of Mississippi. So it's going to be a daunting task for us. I'm not looking forward to it. So you can tell all the fans that Coach Huff is not looking forward to coming to, you know, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, because I know it's going to be a tough environment. Will we be prepared? Yes. But if they said, hey, we don't have to go, I would say, oh, man.
Final question. Is there any one particular unit on your team that is that you foresee right now is going to be the make or break unit for this Thundering Herd team this year?
Well, I think when you start talking about our offense, the wide receivers, right, you can't have an air raid offense and not have good wide receivers. So they're going to have to play really well. That doesn't mean that somebody's got to win the Biletnikoff, but that unit has to play well or the system doesn't work. You can have other issues, you know, with that system. Maybe you don't have a great running back, but you have a collection of running backs. Maybe your O-line is not as deep as you want, but you get the ball out quick. If the receivers can't execute consistently in that offense, then you're going to struggle. So the receivers are going to be a big piece of it. And then obviously, you know, as day-old, age-old adage, quarterback, he's got to play well. You know, he doesn't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to throw for $6 million. But he's got to play well. And I think you look at our tenure when we've had quarterbacks that played well, we played well. When our quarterbacks didn't play well, we struggled. So we've got to get that figured out.
Well, Coach Huff, I told one of the other coaches I hope they win every game except one. But I'm going to tell you, I hope you win every game except two. The one against us in Hattiesburg and the Sun Belt title game against us, wherever that might
be. Well, I'll tell you what, if we see each other twice, both of us will be happy for at least 30 minutes, and then we'll go to war. But, no, I got a lot of respect for Coach Hall and what he does. I don't by any means see this as a, you know, an easy game or pushover game. I know they're going to play hard. They're going to be well coached. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at what they're able to do this year.
Well, and as a former Conference USA brother, we wish you nothing but the best.
Thanks, guys. Go Herd.
All right. Coach Charles Huff, coach at Marshall. You know, Deem, I've always thought there are a lot of similarities between the Marshall football program and the Southern Miss program.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's a great characteristic of it. And as he said at the very end there, they're always going to play tough. They're always well coached. That's the exact thing you could say about Marshall. Those guys are always tough.
Right.
My dad said he went to a Marshall game. I think it was when Southern Miss played at Marshall. I think 2011, maybe 2010. He said those fans were the roughest fans he's ever been a part of. And that's kind of the fun about Marshall. They're kind of in the middle of Virginia, hillbilly Virginia, you know. And,
right.
And then coming down to Hattiesburg is just always, it's just, it used to be always a fun game to watch, you know, and always a competitive, especially in basketball and stuff.
Right.
And so it'll be really fun to get them back in Hattiesburg and get that game here at the Rock. And again, as I said on the before this interview, watch out for the Herd. Those guys always play tough. They're well coached. They beat Notre Dame last year, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And man, they could make some noise.
I think you're exactly right. And I think anytime you play Marshall, you know you're in for a fight.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to plug something real quick. If you've got some trophies or awards for a team or an individual or your school or anything, I suggest Pine Belt Trophy and Awards. Jimmy Moore, I learned this week, is a huge supporter of Southern Miss, a big supporter of the athletic department, and we want to let everybody know whenever we know about a business that supports the university. Jimmy Moore at Pine Belt Trophy and Awards, a Southern Miss guy. So if you've got a, if you've got the, you know, the need for some trophies, some awards, make sure you check them out. They're on Hardy Street right here in Hattiesburg. All right, great show today. Got one more segment to go. Hope you'll stick around. Eagle Hour continues after this.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty in the Southern Bancorp studio. Dima had to step out, but Dima will be back with me tomorrow. This segment of the show is sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. It truly is a state-of-the-art facility, and we're lucky to have them here. And Luke Reynolds is the manager down there, former Golden Eagle baseball player. Also want to thank our good friends at 4th Street Bar and Grill. No better person in the world than Slade and his gang at 4th Street, right there in the shadow of the rock, where the big game is always on the TV. And if the Golden Eagles are playing anything, you can bet that you'll find the action at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also, a great place for lunch and a great place to go have dinner if you like good sandwiches and cold drinks and all the fun things that go with 4th Street Bar and Grill. I don't want to forget about Town & Country Cleaners. They've been family-owned and operated since 1983 in Hattiesburg, offering services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. Most orders can be picked up the same day as they're dropped off. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or you can call them at 601-264-4920. And then, of course, Mo Bay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour at 2902 Hardy Street, where they cook beignets when you come in and order them. And, man, I'm going to tell you something. They're covered in powdered sugar, and they're always good. And speaking of good things to eat, I'm not sure this is a appropriately a good thing to eat, but Kelly Sander is not here because many of you know Kelly is from Iowa, and Kelly is on his way as we speak to the Iowa State Fair. Big deal in the state of Iowa, of course, and Kelly will be joining us a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and in one segment, in one 13-minute segment, Kelly is prepared to eat a fried Oreo candy bar, and here's the best one, followed by a fried stick of butter. So Kelly Sander will be eating fried butter and fried Oreos live on the Eagle Hour Friday. He's already in touch with his cardiologist. Everything is set in case there's a negative reaction, but realizing Kelly is an absolute all-pro at eating, as you probably know, we're going to experience that Friday. He'll be along with Patrick McGee, will be giving us an update on the New Orleans Saints. Now, tomorrow, Bryant Vincent is the head coach at Louisiana Monroe, head football coach. He'll be a guest on the show as we continue our preview of all the Sun Belt football teams. Tomorrow, we'll put the spotlight on Louisiana Monroe and head football coach Bryant Vincent. Football, as you know, underway, and great reporting by Dima Mixon, and we appreciate Andrew Abbott's input every week. These guys are on it every day. We're going to be at football practice Friday morning as well. Hope to grab some player interviews and bring those back to you. All right, now remember this. Football season is now less than a month away, and there are plenty of tickets available. We would encourage everyone to support the Southern Miss football program. Jeremy McClain has said many times on this show that the one thing you can do, if there's only one thing you can do to help support the Southern Miss athletic program, his first suggestion would be to buy season tickets. And they have all sorts of packages that are available, different prices, different levels of participation. But the main thing is, for a very reasonable price, you could have some great Division I college football entertainment for you and your family. When you buy season tickets for Southern Miss Athletics, you're helping the university, obviously. You're also helping the business community, and I shudder to think what Hattiesburg might be like without Southern Miss. So football tickets are on sale right now, and we hope that you'll step up and do your part. We know you're going to have a great season. Got some great games coming in here. South Florida's coming to town. Earlier we talked to the Marshall head football coach. And his football team, Charles Huff, his football team will be in Hattiesburg as well. So there's going to be some great football played here in the Rock. And it'll be a great opportunity for you to enjoy the excitement of Division I college football while at the same time helping the university and helping your business community and the community that we all live in, obviously, as well. So we hope that everyone will participate in that. I want to remind you one more time about our podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you could tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We were told that in the month of July, over 10,000 Southern Miss fans tuned in via our podcast in a 30-day period. Man, we're extremely, extremely grateful to you for that. Thank all of our sponsors, of course, Southern Bancorp Studio, Dickie's Barbecue Pit, Campus Bookmart, 4th Street Bar and Grill, DBAT. Those are our segment and studio sponsors. You hear our other sponsors throughout our broadcast on any of the Super Talk stations that you choose to tune us in on. And we're grateful, very, very grateful to all of those people for all they do to make the Super Talk Eagle Hour possible. Bryant Vinson, Louisiana Monroe head football coach, will also probably have Heath Hinton on the show tomorrow if he's available to give us an update about the Big Gold Nation and what's happening there. We're always going to strive very hard to bring you great guests every day. Thanks for listening. For Dima, this is Bob Getty. Till next time, Southern Miss to the top.
Slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.